Hello everybody and welcome back inside the Shark Tank. It is no coincidence that I, Lewis, am back on the pod when we finally got a win to talk about. Joining me, at least to kick things off, is my co-host, Alex. Alex, I couldn't have picked a better time for it. Sale running out 41 points to 5 winners over Exeter on Sunday. God, we needed that one, didn't we?
Oh, we absolutely did, mate. It's very good to see you again and nice to know that you the glory hunting continues regardless of your location. It was just proper, almost cathartic, wasn't it? You feel like there was a lot of frustration, a lot of points to be proven. Those of you who listened to last week's pod will know that, you know, me and James were trying not to be too pessimistic and catastrophic, but at the same time, you know, there's one point where I was asking, like, tongue-in-cheek, is this coaching staff right? Is Alex Anderson the man? And it felt like that whole pressure kind of was soaked up by the team and absorbed and just released in this massive, you know, demolition of Exeter, really, and a lot of revenge for a 43-0 hammering at Sandy Park earlier in the season, in round three or whatever it was. So there was some real points proven, some really good rugby played, some real clinical edge, and a massive defensive effort as well, I think, to only concede 5 points at home against a very good Exeter side with a lot of good, exciting players who are keen to attack and keen to sort of, you know, take the game to the opposition. That's a really good result as well. So it was sort of complete and utter domination, really. And I think maybe Exeter got a little bit unlucky. I think there was a pretty tough yellow card for them, so they probably maybe deserved a few more points than that. But I don't think they deserved anything out of the game in terms of league points. You know, they didn't look like scoring 4 tries and they didn't look like getting within 7 points of us. I think we fully deserved a 4-try bonus point win with the way we played. But it just goes to show, you know, I think I was looking back at some of the results and some of those losses. You know, we lost by 4 points away at Northampton. And last week's result against Bath became the kind of, oh, well, we've lost another one. This is us spiralling down the drain. But actually, it just shows how fine the margins are in both professional rugby, but also specifically in this league, because we now sit in a table where, you know, I think it's 7 out of the 10 teams have won 8, lost 6, and are in separated by bonus points. So, you know, that's a whole separate discussion. But we've kept ourselves in the fight, we've kept ourselves in the hunt. I think it's given a real good boost to the fans as well as obviously the team and kind of inside the club. I think it's really restored a lot of faith. And James and I think, were talking a few weeks ago now about how the kind of loss of momentum because of the Six Nations break had taken away a bit of the good feeling around the club, that and as well as the losses and you know, just not much going on. There wasn't much excitement. What was it felt like? Sunday was a really good day, a really exciting game of rugby, and has restored a bit of that excitement to the club, I think.
I think it's a good point about the Six Nations as well, because it wasn't as if we had much vested interest in it. And that seems strange when England's starting fly half is you know, a Sale player. But there's a difference to sort of watching George Ford, who is at the back end of his career playing for England, versus like a Tom Curry, who's from the Northwest and has come through the academy and has spent his entire career thus far with Sale. You know, watching him or a Bevan Rod or maybe eventually like a Tom Roebuck, it is a bit different. And you are right, like we seem to have lost a lot of momentum, probably as a league, but also as a club. And this was just a reminder, particularly after that loss away at Bath, that actually we do still have a fighting chance. Now, losing, what is it, 9 out of our last 10 before this was, you know, is no way of going a, you know, going about mounting a genuine challenge for the playoffs, or indeed any sort of progression in any competition. And you do wonder whether or not this is maybe ever so slightly too little too late, given that, you know, we win with a bonus point, we win by 36 points, and we don't actually move position in the table. You know, we're still 8th. We are the bottom of that pile of teams who've won 8 and lost 6. And to your point, Alex, Bath currently sits 2nd, exact same record as us, but they are on 44 points. We're on 37. So we're basically two full wins behind them based on bonus points alone. But if nothing else, this was at least a step in the right direction, a very emphatic step in the right direction. And you hope that maybe this is finally that little bit of momentum that we've probably lost for the last sort of 3 or 4 months to get us back playing meaningful games as we go into the running, I think is how it's been sort of trademarked by Premiership Rugby this year. But I guess, I mean, Alex, from my perspective, I think I said on the very last pod we did before this long break, you know, this break has come at a good time for Sale. We had no momentum. We were really struggling from an injury perspective, and we needed a bit of a reset. And obviously we came back, we played, you know, averagely against Bath, and Bath were in good form and beat us, you know, quite handsomely. But the difference on Sunday, I think, is we are starting to just see that squad depth come back a little bit. We're starting to see the team round out a little bit. And I thought that was encapsulated by having Ben Curry back on the park. And I want to get your thoughts on this, because to me, he was such a catalyst, not necessarily for winning by 36 points, but I think getting Ben Curry back as, you know, to run on captain, I think made an absolutely massive difference in terms of our on-field performance. And is that a sign of what's to come?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, straight after the game, or during the game as well, but like straight after the game, it was like player of the match for me was Ben Curry. I know Tom Roebuck got it for getting a hat trick, but I just thought the difference Ben Curry made was sensational. And we talked last week about, you know, we were sort of looking a bit down to the bare bones in this squad, and you know, you start to call on academy kids off the bench or recent sort of emergency injury cover signings. And what Brent Curry brought is that top level sort of physicality, intensity, just quality around the pitch. You know, you look at that first Tom Roebuck try, he's the reason that's a try because he dominates in the carry. You look at, there's so many defensive hits he puts in, a lot of turnovers, one really clever turnover where he really has to sort of, he makes the tackles made and then he really has to wait for the kind of first extra clear out to come and then go in and snatch the ball thereafter. So I just think he is so, so key. And you forget what we lose when we lose Ben and Tom Curry to injury. And that was a massive difference in the Bath game. You also had Bevan Rod come back in at loose head, who I thought was outstanding again, and really show what we've been missing there. You know, I think we've got a decent stocks at loose head. We've obviously got Ross Harrison, who again came off the bench and put in some hits and, you know, really put himself about the field. But Ross Harrison and Simon McIntyre are at a very different stage of their career to Bevan Rod, and Bevan Rod's got all that sort of energy and excitement and just brings so much in the loose and brings such an attacking kind of presence, as mad as that sounds for a loose head prop. You know, properly, you look at, I think it's the Gus War try where he's heavily involved. But I think, you know, those are local players as well, and that makes a big difference to be at home again, looking to restore a bit of pride in the jersey. But yeah, I thought Ben Curry was sensational. And if we can keep him fit, that is, you know, such a huge part of our game. And it makes you think, and this is massively probably catastrophizing, but it makes you think back to that Premiership final when he got injured in the semi. And you just think, oh, if he'd been playing, would we have snuck it? And that's just me trying to put testament to how good he is and how good he was on the weekend, because I thought in everything he did, you know, from an attacking perspective, I thought his carries were really, you know, dominant. His defence was really dominant. His sort of captaincy and just presence on the field was so assured. And you forget that this guy isn't like John O'Ross was, and 29 and an experienced leader who's been around for a long time. He's, you know, what, 23, 24? I know he's played a hell of a lot of games for Sale, but we've still got probably 7 years of his career to go to enjoy this. So, yeah, I thought he was outstanding. Massively deserved player of the match and absolutely robbed by Tom Roebuck. So hopefully he's got some recognition for that. Yeah, was there anyone else? I mean, obviously Ben Curry, worth you giving your thoughts on, but anyone else that stood out as well for you, Lewis?
Yeah, I mean, getting Rafi Quirk back, a bit like what I sort of alluded to with Ben Curry, getting him back, having him play 28 minutes off the bench, he obviously bags a classic scrum half try with the quick tap.
His first points this season, that, by the way.
Incredible. Yeah, he's a player who there's big raps on. He's played for England already, capped by England, but we've really not seen the best of him. And it's players like Rafi Quirk that we've needed to stand up this year who maybe haven't. And that's why we're in eighth rather than fifth. You know, no disrespect to anyone in the team, but you know, when players like Quirk are taking a half step back, Gus Waugh's taking a bit of a step back this year, not kind of controlling games in the same way as it did the year before. You know, it's those differences that end up resulting in being 7 points behind Bath, even if you won the same amount of games. You know, we've said this all season, we've just been off by 15-20%, particularly in attack. And that's what you want to see from your scrum half. Quick tap, trying to milk a penalty try, doesn't get there, trips over himself, but then still has the nous to score. Little moments like that just keeps the scoreboard ticking over, keeps putting Exeter away. And I thought, you know, having him back and playing quite effectively, again, that's going to be massive for our run-in. You know, and obviously, home debut for Hiron Andrews. Again, kind of everything I've spoken about the last few minutes has just been about what the benefit was of getting that reset, having all that time off. Yes, it's killed a bit of momentum, but it has allowed us to go into market, you know, find a rangy sort of, you know, lock-cum flanker. You know, we're not going to have Johnny Hill for the rest of the season. Seeing him being able to get onto the park, it's just more depth. It's more squad players. It gives us a little bit more from a match-to-match perspective. I don't think he did anything, you know, particularly notable. But again, just being able to bring in a player with extensive experience at the top flight and bringing him on rather than, say, a Ruben Birch, it does make a big difference, no disrespect to Ruben Birch. And I think as well, getting Manu Tuilagi back, again, you know, obviously, whilst we've sort of been away, the news that he's going to be moving to the French second division has obviously come through. And you see a lot of Sale fans quite rightly say, you know, oh, we never saw the best of him. We never sort of got value for money. And a bit like with Lou Diaga, you know, you can argue for and against that. But I think we really missed having that you know, next level presence in the midfield. Sam Bedloe's had a good season, I think, but you know, Tuilagi is, you know, a test player with however many caps he's got for England now. He's a genuine game changer. We've not really seen him run out much for in a Sale shirt this year because of the World Cup and the various injuries there. But he makes a massive difference. You know, he gives our attack a focal point. He gives our attack probably a little bit more structure. And it's maybe not surprising that our attack has struggled this year when, you know, you're paying Manu Tuilagi, I don't know, let's say £500,000 a year to be the focal point of your attack, right? So I think getting him back as well, you know, it's all these players who've kind of come back and recovered from injury or had a long break to, you know, to work on the game, work on the fitness. And that was the difference on Sunday. That's why we're winning by a margin of 36 points rather than having to scrape home. And it does bode well for the rest of the running, the rest of the season, if we can keep the Ben Currys, the Manu Tuilagis fit. If we keep those players fit, if we keep that attacking structure working as effectively as it did on Sunday, it's going to open up a lot more opportunities for guys like Tom Roebuck to bag tries. And Alex, I know where you sit on this. You said you thought Ben Curry was man of the match, but Tom Roebuck, 3 tries, could have had a fourth. It's a pretty impressive performance from a player who, again, has maybe not quite hit the heights that we saw from him last year.
Yeah, should have had a fourth as well. Absolutely butchered that one, I'm afraid, which was a shame. I couldn't believe he hadn't scored it when he didn't. The saddest thing about that for me was poor Josh Beaumont had put in the world's best kick out of nowhere, would have got all the plaudits, and instead is consigned to a footnote in the Sale Sharks fan podcast rather than he should have been clipped up on TNT and everything. So, yeah, that was a shame. But, yeah, Tom Roebuck I thought was outstanding. I think he has been... He's still been really good this season, but he's obviously been disrupted by kind of getting called up to England, especially for the Six Nations and stuff. And I think that performance, I've seen it a lot mentioned in the press, but it proved what England are missing, really, by not selecting him. I think the presence under the high ball is just outstanding. I said this, I think, when we were away at Leinster, and people were sort of giving us grief picking a weakened team. And I said, you just watch Tom Roebuck, you watch Tom Roebuck play and tell me that this is a weakened team. He will be playing for England soon, because not only is he an excellent player, but he perfectly fits what Steve Borthwick wants to do. So I think he's massively overdue an England call-up. Hopefully we'll play on the summer tour now, I guess. But we'll see on that front. This performance, he is entirely justified in getting into that lineup. I think what he brings, as well as obviously the high ball kind of presence, is really important and so good on the chase. But every time he gets the ball, he's able to beat a man. That kind of cut back inside, which you see quite a lot, is really effective. He's so physical that he will beat tacklers. And there's a couple of times where, he'll look like he's tackled, but actually he's not held, and he gets up and goes on. That happens quite often. So he really gives us that momentum on the wing. And you see some of our wingers, and some wingers in the Premiership generally, kind of get ushered into touch occasionally, or, get knocked backwards. I think the thing with Tom Roebuck that's really impressive is you never see him get pushed into touch, because he's just too physical. And that cutback inside is so effective. And you never really see him physically dominated. He'll be the one dominating his opposite winger, regardless of who it is, really. So I think he is such a key player for us. And you're right, when you look at those kind of big names in our squad, and not necessarily big names like George Ford and Tua Lange, but the people who really drove us to the form last year, I think you've seen a lot of those kind of probably not hit the heights that they did last year as yet this season, but certainly this weekend that was a Tom Roebuck height from last season, and probably one of his best performances in a Sale shirt. And if we can get everyone back up there, as you say, we're kind of pushing ourselves back up into that conversation for whatever it might be, top six, top four, kind of yet to be seen, depending on how other teams' form goes. So that's the key thing, to kind of maintain it now, isn't it? It's brilliant to be able to do it at home against Exeter, but we've got to be kind of pushing on and continuing this performance level. Tom Roebuck's our top try scorer now with 8 tries, and I think he's probably up there in the league, if not top. So he's still having a very, very good season by anyone's standards. But I think what we're asking for as fans, I guess, which is probably a bit entitled of us, is we want to see. We're not bothered about the tries, or we do want to see tries. We just want to see that kind of those heights of last season, and we want to see it week in, week out, because I think we've just had a 10-week dreadful run of form, and I don't think I don't think Tom Roebuck's the reason for that, and I don't think he's played badly in that time because he's been away with England and stuff. But all of these little factors of Manu's been injured, George has been away with England, Tom's been away with England, Bevan's been injured, Ben and Tom have been injured, all of those have kind of added up to a Sale team that's not performing anywhere near its kind of peak capacity. And I think what we got on Sunday was much nearer to where we want to be. And I think there's still a little bit to go out there, because, like you say, Tom Roebuck should have had another try guaranteed. But there's plenty more kind of moments in that match where you think we could have pushed on. And actually, we didn't score in the last quarter, which, we've struggled to do anyway this season. But if we can get a bit more clinical again, then, you adding on a try or two in the last quarter. Now, it didn't matter for this game because we were 40 points up, but for those games where we maybe scored 3 tries in the first half, if we can kind of continue to push on and close out games and really perform into the last 20 minutes of games and score tries, then that's where the try bonus points will come, and that's how we'll move back up the league, I think.
I've got a question for you. Who does Tom Roebuck represent at test level first, Scotland or England?
Oh, England, definitely. He's definitely going to play for England, I think. I just think he suits them way too much. I think with Scotland, you've always... If you're Tom Roebuck, number one, with Scotland, you've got a not very successful team by all the standards. I know they've beaten England the last few years, but they've never actually been able to back up beating England. You know, went out of the World Cup in the group stages. I know it was a bad draw, but, you know, not really got close to winning the Six Nations. And they are at the peak at the moment. And they're not going to be able to import South African players forever to maintain that talent pipeline. So you've got that. You've got Dewan van der Merwe on one wing, who is always going to play. So you've only got one wing spot open. And you've got a load of, you know, wingers who... You've got Carl Steyn, again, South African. You've got Darcy Graham, who everyone absolutely loves. You've obviously got Blair Kinghorn, who plays back three. Whereas with England, I think there's such a massive opportunity. I know you've got Faye Wabosa on the right, kind of probably his main competition. But Elliot Daly's getting picked for England consistently at the moment by Steve Borthwick. And Tom Roebuck is very, very similar to Elliot Daly in what he brings in the air and just in his running style, I think. I know Elliot Daly's probably got a bit more of that kind of across-the-back line skill set. But I can just see how Tom Roebuck fits into that England team. So I'm hopeful that he gets picked for England. I think that's where he should play. And I think that's where, if I were him, I'd feel like there's more chance of success. I know you probably, in the nicest way possible, get more chance of getting picked for Scotland. But I think if you look at even like a Ewan Ashman, who has gone up to Scotland from Sale, gone to, you know, Edinburgh with the express intention of getting in the Scotland team, it just, that shows that, you know, you're going to play for one of two professional clubs to get the chance of playing for Scotland, but actually it's not guaranteed because, you know, there's so much concentration in those clubs that just because you're on the bench at Edinburgh doesn't mean you're going to be on the bench for Scotland. So I think, yeah, I would be going England, but maybe I'm biased. What would you say, Lewis?
I think it'd be Scotland, if I'm being honest. I think... it's the same problem that a lot of players have, which is, from an England perspective, there is so much talent, you know, and the flavour of the year is probably going to be Northampton players. You know, who's closer to an England call-up at the moment, Ollie Slightholm or Tom Roebuck? You can make a good argument that it's Slightholm, rightly or wrongly. I just have the feeling that he is going to be a bit like a Josh Beaumont, or even like a Tommy Taylor, who, you know, might get like an invitational cap against the Barbars at the end of the season, few training camps here or there. But I think it's going to be difficult. I think Tommy Freeman has shown quite a lot in the Six Nations. Like you said, you know, it looks like George Fairbank and Freddie Stewart are in reckoning for that 15 jersey. And you can see a world where one of them slides to the wing. I just think there is just so much talent in England. It's versus Scotland. It's a lot easier to say with any sort of certainty that a player is going to play for Scotland. Is that the right decision? No. But, well, there's no way of knowing, I suppose. But it's the same with Aaron Reid. You know, Aaron Reid is much more likely to play for Scotland than he is for England. And that says more about the talent pool that they've got to pick from than it does about the individual players, I think. Right, what else? We've got however many tries is it? Six on the day? Six tries, yep. To talk from. We spoke to Rafi Quirk, three tries for Tom Roebuck, great form. Nice to see George Ford kicking his sticks again. He's had a terrible year from the boot, but good to see him kick four out of six, a penalty as well. Thought he controlled the game really nicely. And just I wanted to give a little mention as well to Luke Cowan-Dickey, who I believe has re-signed for another season as well. So nice bit of news. Again, a player that we've probably spoken about a little bit as being a bit up and down this year. We've not sort of seen him at his vintage best. Again, another player who's sort of, you know, been in and around England this year, and you do wonder whether or not that's had a impact on his club form. But Cowan-Dickey, I thought, had a pretty strong game, and we saw finally the sort of rolling maul and that red zone efficiency start to come back from sale. So I thought it'd be remiss not to mention Luke Cowan-Dickey against his old team. Really good to see him sort of back to some sort of form. I guess the other thing I wanted to ask you about from this game, though, Alex, is I think we sort of bossed Exeter all around the field. You know, I thought defensively one-on-one we matched up really well. Obviously, attacking-wise, we showed a lot more efficiency. I thought we controlled the game, territory, etc., really, really well. There was obviously a big moment, though, in that first half with the Josh Hodge yellow card. Where did you fall on this one? Because I've got some thoughts and I don't want to cloud what you're going to say. But obviously, probably not that pivotal a moment in the match in the scheme of things, but a pretty interesting call nonetheless. Where did you fall down on that one?
Yeah, I just mean think it wasn't a yellow card. I think he was going with it for two hands. I think he makes an attempt to catch it, would have. The worrying thing with Josh Hodges, he obviously would have scored had he managed to rein it in, because he's faster than anyone else in the league, basically, let alone in our team. And I thought it was really harsh. And then, you know, when we talked last week about the Bath game and some of the referee decisions going against Sale in that, like blatant knock-ons, blatant forward passes that were just not given, that would have been given in any other game. And I think there's a bit of karma working the other way there, or luck coming back the other way, so to speak. What makes it worse is that Manu commits a genuine, deliberate knock-on, goes with one hand, knocks it on every day of the week. That's a penalty. And doesn't get pinged for it. So it felt like some very, probably home-favoured refereeing is probably the kindest way to put it. I thought Exeter can feel hard done to on both of those calls. As you say, maybe wouldn't have made a difference in the context of the game, but, you know, Josh Hodge going off for 15 minutes. I think we scored at least one in that time, if not two. I think, you know, it felt unfair, and the Manu thing made it worse. I guess the only kind of other thing to consider with it is there was a time many, many years ago when John O'Ross was captain and Byron McGuigan was going for intercepts every other week. And we used to get yellow carded for it all the time. Like, all regardless of, you know, unless we caught it, we were getting yellow carded, regardless of whether you thought we were trying to catch it or not. And I do wonder if there's a bit of a maybe cooling off towards Sale from referees, especially because Ben Curry is captain, but also Alex Sanderson as DOR. You know, we've got a less spiky approach now, I think. We're much more softly than when we had Diamond, Ross, McGuigan sort of committing the offences. You know, now you've got Sanderson, Ben Curry as captain, and Manu Tuilagi. The combination of those three separate things, you know, one is us against the world, everyone hates us, and we're going to be horrible to opposing teams, and it kind of rubbed off on referees a bit, I think. So I do wonder if there's a little element of, oh, but we like Alex Sanderson, and oh, Manu's a good bloke, and he's always friendly, and well, Ben Curry's a really good captain, really nice guy, so actually, let's not yellow card Manu Tuilagi when he blatantly knocks it on and deserves probably at least, you know, probably a yellow card. So, yeah, that was my take on it. I thought it was very harsh, but maybe a bit of making up for last week, given Finn Russell and Ben Spencer's antics. What was yours, Lewis?
I mean, that was the worst, one of the worst refereeing decisions I think I've ever seen. I've never been a fan of the deliberate knock-on law. Anyway, I think it penalises ambitious defensive play. And I remember there was, I think it was Wales, Australia a couple of years ago, where Kirtley Beale gets pinged for a genuine attempt. No, it wasn't that. Kirtley Beale makes the pass, Nick Tompkins sticks his arm out, makes no attempt to get the ball. But because it bounced, it goes straight down, the ball bounces backwards. Tompkins picks up the ball, runs in, scores a try, and that ended up being the winner. And I always thought that instance sort of highlighted how ridiculous the law was, because if it bounced 3 inches the other way, it's a deliberate knock-on, it's a yellow card and a penalty. So I've always found it a very, very reductive lore. And I think you look at what happened with Josh Hart, right? What else can he do? He's got two hands going for the ball. He's got the ball in two hands at one very brief moment. I think it's a terrible decision. It's really, really poor. And we wonder why rugby struggles sometimes to attract and retain supporters. And like I said, I don't think it made that much difference in the scheme of things. But you know, if you know Josh Hodge catches that ball, it's 7 points the other way, and it would have been a successful and effective defensive play. And it's just really disappointing to see plays like that get penalised so harshly. So you know, ultimately, it's I don't think Exeter can feel too aggrieved and say, oh well, that's the reason why we lost. I think it's fair to say we were the better team on the day, but you just see moments like that. It does make you wonder why rugby can't get out of its own way a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just becomes confusing and it doesn't really reward. There's a massive difference between Josh Hodge trying to catch that ball and go for an intercept versus someone sticking an arm out speculatively just to stop the ball going wide. There's so much difference in the two plays, and you think, sometimes there are grey areas where you can't really tell because of the speed the game's been played at, but it feels like this wasn't even near the grey area. So you can understand when the kind of the grey area is a 50-50 call and you're not quite sure, and whatever decision you kind of have to be happy with. Whereas this one, I feel like, yeah, it's just a very, very harsh decision on a player who, like you say, we want to kind of reward. I always felt like it was harsh when it was happening to us. And you know, you point to our defensive system, you go, this is the way our defensive system works, and we're not like just out there trying to slap down balls and stop, you know, stop the other team getting to the edge. What we're trying to do is kind of pressure that attack with our defense by coming in from the outside, and that puts us in the position to intercept a lot more. And yeah, it feels like it shouldn't be punished as harshly as it is. I'm with you. I've never really agreed with the way the law is positioned as it is. I think it needs to be a lot more favouring the kind of the people making a genuine attempt. You know, you just want to see good attacking rugby. And you look at, again, we're going a bit deep here on rugby as a sport, but you look at the NFL and some of the most exciting plays come from fumbles, and whoever picks it up can run the length of the field and score a touchdown, or, you know, that's like the things that go up in clips and stuff. And it doesn't really matter whether it doesn't matter in that game whether the ball goes forward or backwards anyway, but if you kind of create a bit of chaos, whoever gets it in the end, it creates a highlight reel moment. And what we're kind of doing is saying, right, stop the game. Okay. Everyone stop. Everyone take 2 minutes. We're going to, as referees, go over to a screen and we're going to slow the game down. We're going to look at this in detail and we're going to analyse these five things as to whether he's made an attempt to catch it. Has the ball gone forward? Is there cover at the back? And as a rugby fan, you know that process quite well. But yeah, to your point, if you're down at the game, it's less frustrating when you're on telly, because you can sit and watch it on telly and you kind of go, oh, okay, I've got my phone and have a look on Twitter or whatever. When you're at the game, it's so frustrating because you just sat there going, come on, make a decision. I don't care. Just make a decision. And I think it's a massive difference between rugby at premiership level. And it's only a thing that happens at premiership and international level, because if you go down to championship Nat 1, there's no TMO. So even if you disagree with the ref's call, the game has moved on very quickly. And I think getting that pace back into the game is quite important for Premiership rugby, because there's nothing that used to frustrate me more than going to the AJ Bell and sitting there it's all right on Sunday afternoon when it's in decent weather, but when it's, 2 degrees on a Friday night in December, the last thing you want to be doing is sitting there for an extra 5 minutes while a referee walks to a screen at the other end of the field. Anyway, sorry, that's a mini rant, but I think we should be a bit more lenient and just reward, punish cynical acts, but let's not punish people just because they're going for an interception and they don't quite get it.
I think it's a really good point about that on TV versus in the ground experience as well. Again, you want people to go to the ground, you want to get crowds up, and like you said, I think, you know, on the whole, the CMO is a good thing for rugby. But as we're as I think we've seen over the last year or so, the introduction of the bunker system, I think, has been really good. Because do you remember 2 years ago when there was a suspect hit to the head and the referee would go and stand in front of the screen and they'd rewind it four times and check all the angles? None of that now. And I think one of the things that rugby in general really struggles with is actually congratulating itself when it does get something right. The bunker system has been brilliant because it's reduced that wastage that we've had for years and years, where we're analysing, okay, is it shoulder to head or is it shoulder to chest? Is it high degree of danger? All this sort of stuff, which is very important, but at the same time is something that we don't have a lot of time for, particularly for paying fans in the ground. Can we start to apply that logic to deliberate knock-ons? That would be the ideal. I'm conscious of time, Alex, so let's just rattle through next week, which is Sale have dropped down to the European Challenge Cup and have an interesting fixture Saturday lunchtime, I believe it is, at Ospreys.
Saturday evening, I think it's 8 p.m. Is it?
That's my time difference. I wasn't sure if that's 8 p.m. my time or 8 p.m. your time. So apologies. It is Sale have dropped down to the Challenge Cup and they've got an interesting trip away to Ospreys, 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, like a bit of Saturday night rugby. Alex, just briefly from your perspective, we won't talk too much about team selection or choices, but from your perspective, you know, how important is the Challenge Cup now and making a run there versus trying to claw back into the playoff race in the Premiership?
Yeah, I think the Challenge Cup is just a really good opportunity for us, isn't it? You know, we've kind of got a bit of a free hit in this competition, having had a stinker of a draw in the Champions Cup, and not disgracing ourselves in any way, but obviously not coming out of that with any kind of progression to round 16 in that competition. It's actually a blessing to get into this competition. And, you know, it's a much weaker competition, being brutally honest. So there's a big opportunity for us. You know, if we can beat Stade Français at home and if we can, you know, take it to the Stormers away, we should be able to compete into the latter stage of this competition. It's been a long time since we were in any kind of later stage of Europe, really. You know, I think there was a quarter final against Montpellier probably 10 years ago now. You know, we obviously had the, I think, quarter final against Racing. I think it was quarter final anyway, a couple of years ago.
Quarterfinal against La Rochelle, but again, you're going away from home against one of those big French teams. It doesn't feel like a genuine chance, really.
Yeah, we had the was it the semi-final of the Challenge Cup as well away at La Rochelle, a long, long time. That was Chris Ashton years. So, you know, we've kind of not had a confident run into the late stages of a tournament for a while. So I think this is a good chance. Ospreys, obviously, Welsh rugby a bit struggling at the moment for reasons that we literally do not have time to go into because we'll be here for 3 weeks. So I think there's an opportunity for us. I think it's a really good confidence booster. If we lose this game, we're not playing the week after because it's then quarterfinals of Europe. So again, you lose a bit of momentum in the squad. I think having had a massive break, you kind of want to be playing week in, week out and building up that momentum, building up that team. Obviously balancing injuries as well. So hopefully it's a chance to kind of knock out rugby wins will give us confidence going back into the Prem in a couple of weeks' time. And I think, you know, going out at this stage in the round 16, we obviously went out to Cardiff last season and just didn't really turn up away in Cardiff. So I think there's a bit of a point to prove with our away form. We've got a very tough couple of away fixtures in the Premiership, away against Newcastle and Saracens. Newcastle are going to be right up for it. Saracens are Saracens. So there's a bit of an element of we need some away form because I think we've beaten basically Bristol away this year and that's probably it. Our Leicester as well, I think we beat away, didn't we? But I think we need to go with a strong team and, you know, everyone's had a big break. There's still loads of energy in this team for me. So go with a strong team, try and progress in this competition because it's such a good opportunity to, you know, I think back to the Brian Kennedy era, a lot of what came after was justified by a couple of wins in this competition, obviously with different names, 01, 02, and then 04, 05. I think I've got my years right. I was very young at the time. So if we can do that, it just kind of brings that bit of silverware, a bit of positive feeling. Obviously, that's a long way off, but ultimately, we've got to win four games in a competition against teams that I don't think there's a team that's outstandingly better than us. We were in a Premiership final last year, so we should really be competing at the top end of this competition. So hopefully we go strong and we kind of, you know, keep that momentum in the squad and in the team, and all that good feeling from the Exeter result is taken into a Saturday night game in Wales.
I think it's a really good point. I was very 50-50 on how important to take this. I think realistically not making the playoffs this year is going to be a big blow if we can't do that in the league. And therefore, we could, in theory, console ourselves with a long run at the Challenge Cup. Because like you said, there's not that many good teams left in this. And it does give us a real chance at some silverware. So I think you've talked me into it. You know, I think, all right, it's time to go all guns blazing. Particularly, we've just had 6 weeks off. Players are rested. They're coming back. Really good opportunity to get, you know, guys like Ben Curry, Manu Talangi, more minutes under the belt. And I think we're in a unique position where we can use the Challenge Cup as a bit of a springboard for the run-in. So very quickly, Alex, away at Ospreys Saturday night. How do you see that one going down in terms of predictions?
I'm feeling confident after that extra result, naturally. So I'm going to say Sale 27, Ospreys 15. I think we're going to have a convincing away win. I'm hopeful. Lewis, what about you?
I think if it all clicks, 30 points to 23, I think, to Sale. I think if we take that form that we had against Exeter into this game against Ospreys, no disrespect to Ospreys, but realistically, that is a team that we should be beating. It'd be close, particularly away from home, but it's a really good opportunity for us. And I think, like you said, if we play like we did on Sunday, that we're going to beat a lot more teams than we lose to. So that's the pod for this week. Slightly shorter than usual, but thank you so much to everyone for listening. Thank you to everyone who's been asking when the pod was going to be coming back whilst we were away. I know we've already done one, but I thought I'd just mention that there. And thank you, as always, to Alex for joining me. Al, anything from your side before we say goodbye for another week?
No, lower league rugby went on this weekend. So nothing to update there. Sale FC are at home on Saturday to Taunton, Coley are at home on Saturday to Ampthill, and Preston Grasshoppers are at home to Lim. So they're your home matches in the northwest that I know of. Obviously, sorry, I'll have missed some, definitely, but do get yourselves down there if you're not going to Wales. If you are going to Wales, have a great time. And Lewis, lovely to have you back. Hopefully we win and therefore I see you next week. Otherwise, it'll be me and James dissecting a disappointing loss in Swansea.
Yeah, fingers crossed I'm back next week as well, because it's usually a good sign for Sale. So thanks everyone for listening, and we'll chat to you next week.